Hey, our ride's almost here. Are you ready?
Just grabbing my shoes.
That's what you said 10 minutes ago.
I just wrapped a video call, uploading this giant file on my tablet, looking at my watch go bananas with the group chat, and, of course, still lining up tonight's playlist on my phone.
All at once?
Yep, story of my life. That's why I switched to T-Mobile. They have the fastest 5G network.
Okay, multitasker. I see you.
Honestly, I never imagined I could do all this at once. It's awesome.
Say no more. I'm totally switching. My post is taking way too long to upload.
That's a sign. You've got to get T-Mobile.
So many reasons to join T-Mobile. Find yours at T-Mobile.com.
Fastest based on analysis by Ookla speed test intelligence data of national speed score results incorporating 5G download and upload speeds for the first half of 2026.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Personal finance can feel like a pop quiz you didn't study for. This podcast is your study guide. On NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast, you'll hear from trusted journalists who explain the why behind major financial decisions. You'll get research-backed insights and clear pros and cons, whether you're planning a big purchase or just want to grow your wealth. Make your next financial move with confidence. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
Imagine you're watching the game at a buddy's house when you get a call that someone tried to break into yours. In a second, everything can change. That's why there's ADT. No one wants to feel unsafe in their own home. ADT security systems help keep your home safe with 24/7 monitoring. The ADT Plus app keeps you in control the whole time. ADT's network is built for those game time moments. They have the most company-operated monitoring centers in the industry. Don't leave your home wide open during an emergency. When every second counts, count on ADT. Visit ADT.com or call 1-800-ADT-ASAP.
Tommy Lou Gowerd.
Start Dart.
I love Tommy.
No biggie.
Yeah, Dude's dogs damage.
I believe in positive Tommy.
Oh, I've been working nights.
They call me Tommy the Rationalizer.
We all know Tommy Lou Gowerd is a generational talent.
It's After Hours with Tommy Lou Gowerd on The Fan.
All right, let's go. Tommy Lou Gowerd. Loogie. Phone number to call, as always, 888-808-1019. The next chapter in the New York-Philly rivalry begins later on this evening. And I'm here for it. You know, anytime you can get New York versus Philly, it is edge of your seat, pay top dollar for, electric type of stuff. We know the rivalry that exists between New York and Philly. We know the hatred that exists. We know the jealousy, especially when it comes to Philly being jealous of New York. We know that exists. And there's just always a little extra when you can get a New York team versus a Philly team in the playoffs. And that's something that we've seen a lot over the last couple of years. Whether it's Giants-Eagles, whether it's Mets-Phillies, whether it's Knicks-Sixers, now for the second time in a couple of years. And I think back to that last series that the Knicks and Sixers played in the playoffs. And I was in the building down in Philly for the clincher. And it was one of the most thrilling, exciting, satisfying sports nights of my life. The opportunity to go to an opponent's building, especially Philly, which, look, for all their warts, it is a tough town. Now, at the time, they were basically done with the Sixers. I expect a different vibe this year, though, because at that time, it was sort of like, all right, this is an underachieving Philly squad. You could just feel it in the air. There was almost one of those where they wanted to cheer the team on, and they did, of course, but at a drop of a hat, they were basically going to leave in disgust. Like, when that game was over, there wasn't that feeling from the Philly fan of, all right, good season, good series, get them next year. You know, the Sixer fan couldn't wait to get the heck out of there, as the Knicks fan was basically singing and dancing in the streets like it was right outside Madison Square Garden. Fast forward a couple years later, and I think it's going to be a different vibe down in Philly. I do. Because when you consider what just took place against the Celtics and you battle back down 3-1 in the series. You go to Boston, you win a game seven. You get Embiid back for the back end of the series, and he played great, which is to be expected. Look, you could say what you want about Joel Embiid, and don't worry, we will on this radio station for the next couple of hours leading up to the game and really all week, but especially the lead-in, because obviously there's a ton of bad blood here. And a guy like Embiid revels in that. Like, he embraces it. He instigates it. And all that's well and good, but when you start hurting players, which we know he's, you know, did in the past to Mitchell Robinson and things like that, that's where you take it too far. But the villain stuff, I don't mind that. You know, I think that's what makes a series, playoff series, even better, is when you can have a villain that we, the fans, can go against. It's not just the city of Philadelphia. Obviously, that's more than enough. But when you can add to it with a player that none of us can stand because of some of his antics and obviously what he did to Mitchell Robinson and the bad blood that just exists in general, when you go to war, a sports war, with a team like the Knicks did a bunch of years ago, and Embiid was really front and center of that. Because as great as Maxey is, and he is, Embiid gives you that greatness, but also, you know, he's easy to hate, especially when you're not on the side of being a fan of the team he plays for. But now you look at this year and the way the Sixers won that series, I think that they all of a sudden are, instead of being a team that has underachieved, they might have even overachieved in this last series. Or at least it feels that way on the surface. Let me explain. So once the Knicks clinched and they completely steamrolled the Hawks, really in three games in a row, to ultimately move on to the second round, and we as Knicks fans were sitting there pretty, and we put the feet up, and we enjoyed a weekend of stress-free basketball. As I was looking ahead to that Game 7, you know, I was on the radio the night that the Knicks are clinched and they beat the Hawks. I said, listen, I think Boston is an easier matchup. I think the Knicks beat both of these teams, but I think Boston is the easier of the matchups. And this was me not even thinking that Tatum would get hurt. And by the way, I said that all year. Like, if you go back and check all the tapes of everything that I said about the Boston Celtics all year long, everything I said came to fruition. I said their front court stinks, and understandably so. Like, when you lose KP, Horford, and Cornette, and you don't replace it with much, you can't expect... I mean, that was the championship team. They lost so much of their... They still had their two stars and guys like Pritchard and Hauser, and I understand that, but the front court, like the big guys that they had on that team, they're all gone. And I think the Celtics went into this year probably thinking, hey, we might stink. Like, we lost three key players. Tatum, obviously, out for most of the year with an injury. Who knows if he's going to come back. We're going to probably go the route that the Pacers ultimately went, which is we're going to be a bad basketball team. But somehow, some way, they managed to have not only a good year, but really a great regular season, and they finished with the two seed. But the reality is they didn't have a front court, and Tatum, it could have been just a matter of time before, you know, this guy just came back from a major injury and rushed back in so many ways. You think he was going to be able to hold up, not only for the end of the regular season, but through the toughness and the hardships of a playoff, not just series, but a playoff run? Like, in what planet was that going to happen? Like, when you put a lot of your eggs in the basket of a guy who's either injury prone or, in the situation like Tatum, coming off a major injury and not giving it the proper time to return, that's a recipe for disaster. Especially when you consider the roster was not nearly as good as it was last year, the championship year. So I thought the Celtics were, number one, not as good as the two seed would indicate. They had a star player that had returned, but any minute could have re-aggravated injury or got hurt again, because when you are favoring or trying not to re-injure one body part, you could hurt another one. I mean, we saw that with Kevin Durant all those years ago. And a lot of times that's Achilles injuries happen that way, because you might have another injury and you're favoring it, or you're trying not to aggravate it or make it any worse, and you ultimately end up hurting your Achilles. So to me, based on those factors, and a weak front court, like all those things, the Celtics were an easier matchup. The Knicks would have had the size advantage, and I said this all year, for months, because the beauty of this regular season, if you're a Knicks fan like me, is you knew they were winning 50-plus games. I wanted to finish with the one seed, but you figured, if not the one seed, two seed, three seed at worst. So it was really, when you got to about the midway point of the year.
Hey, our ride's almost here. Are you ready?
Just grabbing my shoes.
That's what you said 10 minutes ago.
I just wrapped a video call, uploading this giant file on my tablet, looking at my watch go bananas with the group chat, and of course, still lining up tonight's playlist on my phone.
All at once?
Yep, story of my life. That's why I switched to T-Mobile. They have the fastest 5G network.
Okay, multitasker. I see you.
Honestly, I never imagined I could do all this at once. It's awesome.
Say no more. I'm totally switching. My post is taking way too long to upload.
That's a sign. You've got to get T-Mobile.
So many reasons to join T-Mobile. Find yours at T-Mobile.com.
Fastest based on analysis by Ookla speed test intelligence data of national speed score results incorporating 5G download and upload speeds for the first half of 2026.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Personal finance can feel like a pop quiz you didn't study for. This podcast is your study guide. On NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast, you'll hear from trusted journalists who explain the why behind major financial decisions. You'll get research-backed insights and clear pros and cons, whether you're planning a big purchase or just want to grow your wealth. Make your next financial move with confidence. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
Imagine you're finally cleaning out your gutters when the smoke alarm starts blaring from inside. Smoke billows out of the window. ADT's affordable DIY systems are built for those moments where everything can change in a second. They're easy to set up, customizable, and help keep your home safe with 24/7 monitoring. No one wants to feel unsafe at home, and with ADT, you won't. ADT prioritizes your peace of mind with the most company-operated monitoring centers in the industry. With the ADT Plus app, you stay in control from virtually anywhere. Don't wait to prepare for an emergency. When every second counts, count on ADT. Visit ADT.com or call 1-800-ADT-ASAP.
Nobody gets into maintenance for the paperwork, but somewhere along the way, the clipboards piled up and the spreadsheets multiplied. Good technicians spend hours per day on admin instead of turning a wrench. MaintainX was built to give that time back. Preventative maintenance runs on a real schedule. Automated, assigned, and nothing slipping through. With MaintainX, work orders go out in seconds, and everyone from the floor to the front office knows what's due and when. So your team gets back to the machines, not the paperwork. Over 14,000 companies are already running on MaintainX because the people who keep the world running deserve tools that actually work. Try MaintainX free at MaintainX.com. That's MaintainX.com, an Autodesk company.
Especially after they won the Cup, they had that bad stretch, and then they righted the ship. It was all about, okay, what is the road going to be? Who are they going to see in the first round? But more importantly, who are they going to see in the second round? And then who is going to be waiting in the Eastern Conference Finals? And all year you heard, well, it's going to be the Celtics. It's going to be the Pistons. And for a minute, it looked like it was going to be neither of them. We'll get to the Pistons later on. But those two teams were talked about a lot here on After Hours because they were two teams, at least one of them, you figured the Knicks were going to see on their road to the finals. And all year, and like I said, we'll get to the Pistons a little bit later on. And they are, I don't want to say lucky because they got through. But Orlando basically went, you know, 1-for-28 in the fourth quarter in game six. If not for that, I think the Pistons would be sitting home with the Celtics. But they got by, Boston didn't. But all year long, I said, look, Boston, they don't have any size. And one of their star players, to me, is put together by thumbtacks right now, just because he rushed back from an injury. And I understand doing it. I get it. You want to try to make another run? I get that. I'm not taking anything away from Tatum. Even missing the game seven, nothing. The guy came back from a major injury early. Like, that says a lot about who he is. The body just gave out at the end. And if he played, we could be having a different conversation. Perhaps the Knicks would be going up to Boston instead of hosting the Sixers. But all year long, I felt confident if the Knicks matched up with the Celtics, it would be advantage Knicks. Now, I don't think they would have won by 40 points every game, basically, like they did with the Hawks at the end of that series. But I think it would have been a major, major, like an eye-opening series victory for the Knicks. I think a lot of people would have been shocked just how easily the Knicks would have handled them. Especially if Boston, which they live and die by, I called them the Boston Chuckers last year, and it's not much has changed, especially if they're not hitting shots. Now, Philly is a team I didn't talk about a lot this year because there wasn't really a clear-cut path to the Knicks seeing them at any point. But I did mention them a few times, and it always comes down to Embiid, of course. But I think Philly presents a tougher matchup than Boston would have. And I think Philly presents a tougher matchup than a lot of teams, you know, going into the playoffs would offer to the Knicks. Now, the Knicks are better. They're deeper. And I believe they win this series. But I don't think this is a cakewalk. I don't think this is one of those situations. Like, I really think the Knicks would have put one on the Celtics. And it would have been so gratifying and satisfying because I think there were a lot of people out there that were so cocky that Boston was just going to, oh, they were just going to beat the Knicks and they're, you know, got pedigree and that DNA and heart of a champion. Okay. Did you see the front court that they started in Game 7? And they were going to handle Cat and Mitchell Robinson and the size and depth that the Knicks throw at you? Good luck. Well, we're never going to find that out because obviously Boston went home. But as far as the Sixers, like I said, if you have a healthy Embiid, which is a big if, you know, there's no guarantee he's going to hold up for 7 games. No guarantee. And if he's going to be able to physically, like as far as being in shape, there's no guarantee that he is going to be able to be out there, you know, grinding and fighting and dropping 30 points a night in this series. And when Embiid is on the bench, look, the Sixers just don't have a lot of depth. They don't. And I think that lack of depth will ultimately be their undoing here. And also, this is a team, and give them credit, they battled back against Boston, won a Game 7 on the road. They showed some heart. They showed some toughness. But this is a team that you can question both of those things over the last couple of years. They have been a underperforming, disappointing team, and that's in many ways why the Sixers fans, the Philly fans, have sort of turned their back on them going into this playoff. Now, I think, like I said, they'll get back on board a little bit. Although, and we'll get into this more later on here in the show, the fact that the Sixers are trying to keep Knicks fans out of the building doesn't exactly exude that the team thinks that a lot of Sixer fans are going to show up. But we'll see. Ultimately, you're not keeping Knicks fans out of the building, by the way. But more on that coming up later on the show. Because it's little brother behavior by the Sixers. Which I thought Philly would be a little... I didn't think that much of them, but I thought they'd be a little bit better than that. I guess I was wrong. But as far as Maxey, very difficult guard. You know, that's going to take a lot. That's going to take Deuce. That's going to take Alvarado. Bridges. Even Anunoby. Like, that's not an easy guard. I mean, Maxey's one of the best players in the league. Edgecombe is another guy who's an added wrinkle here now. He wasn't in the last series these two teams played. And he could be a little bit of an X factor. Like, he obviously wasn't in the league yet. So it gives you another guy, if you're Philly, that could attack the Knicks as far as to get to the basket. And it gives another player that could potentially go after Brunson defensively, which you know can be problematic. Like CJ McCollum, who, no disrespect, but I mean, the guy was looking like an all-star. He was the best player in that series against the Knicks for the first couple games. Now, obviously, Mike Brown and the team made the necessary adjustments. Credit to them. And McCollum was a non-factor in the final couple games. But you're stepping up in class here with Philly, particularly with the guards. So they're going to be tough to handle, both of them, as well as Embiid. And we'll get into sort of the individual matchups, what the Knicks can do, what Philly is going to try to do. But just on our overall, you know, landscape of it, that's going to be a difficult situation for the Knicks. But also, at the same time, I don't see anybody. I mean, Oubre, they'll throw at Brunson. I don't see anybody being able to stop Jalen. I don't. So I think Jalen's going to eat in this series, which can be great. but also can be at times not so great. And what I mean by that is I think Brunson can get his and he can go off and he could have a 40-point game in this series, maybe even a couple, which is wonderful. And that's what you're looking for at times. But at other times, you know what happens if it's dribble, dribble, and he stays with the ball too much in his hands and they don't facilitate and the ball doesn't move around. And I mean, you're talking about a situation where Bridges just had 24 points. I'd like to see the momentum of that continue, because I think if you unlock Mikal Bridges, the Knicks are completely unstoppable. Like, we know Brunson, if he wants to put the cape on in this series, he alone could probably carry them to a series victory. Why do it the hard way? I always feel like if you could do it the easier way, do it that way. Like a game here, a game there, if Brunson has to do it, I understand that. But I still think the overall game plan here is, even though Brunson, I think, has a distinct advantage offensively, but then at the same time, defensively, if they seek him out, he's got no shot of guarding these guys. Zero. You have to hide him the best you can. Or just say, hey, listen, I got 45 from Brunson. I'll take the fact that he's not able to guard anybody. Which I'm sure there's going to be a game or two that is like that. But moving the ball around, everybody getting their touches in the starting five is the key for the Knicks. It always has been and always will be. Getting everybody involved. That is the key. And like I said, we'll get more into it as we go. We got another 4.5 hours here. But the New York-Philly rivalry, which is just, for me, because even like the Boston one, all right, and I'm just speaking for myself here, and I'm not going to speak for all Met fans, but when it comes to like the Red Sox, I don't hate the Red Sox. But the rest of the Boston teams, I don't even necessarily hate the Patriots. I know some Giant fans hate them. I don't understand why. We beat them twice or in the Super Bowl, and I don't get the hatred for them. So it's really just the Celtics that I hate, and I kind of ish hate the Bruins, but I don't really like, for me, Philly, I hate every team that's there. So to me, it's full hatred. And what I love most about this series, too, not only is it Nick, Sixer, New York, Philly, but it opens up a situation, and I haven't talked to the guys yet about this, but because I want them to say it on the air. What would they say this something to me in text? What good is that? I want it on the airwaves. The coalition, of course, led by Evan Roberts, the coalition of Knick haters. And you know they root for the demise of the Knicks, especially around this time of season. You know, this is the point where, you know, in regular season you can have your fun, you can win a round of the playoffs, maybe even win two rounds, but at some point the coalition wants to see the Knicks fail, they want to see the fans fail, they want to see everybody fall flat on their face. And normally they're rooting against the Knicks. But this is Philly. This is Philly. You know, there's a line drawn in the sand here. Like I said, when it comes to Boston, you know, you could make the argument, hey, a Met fan might not hate the Red Sox and things of that nature. But when it comes to New York versus Philly, I mean, you can't find a New Yorker that can't stand, that doesn't hate Philly and their fans. So how could you as a New Yorker side with them? Now, I know politics make strange bedfellows, but still. You know, what kind of New Yorker are you if you're rooting for the Sixers? Even if you hate the Knicks. And I understand when the Yankees played the Phillies in the World Series, I'm sure a lot of people had to make very difficult decisions back then. And perhaps that's the same situation here. But it just makes you feel, doesn't it, you know, a little extra dirty if you're siding with Philadelphia over New York? Even if you hate the Knicks, even if you hate the fans, even if you hate everything they stand for, you'd rather side with Philly? My gut is they're rooting for Philly. I'm thinking about it out loud. That's my gut. But it's one of those situations where I think the coalition will root for Philly, but if the Knicks win, they're like, all right, New York beat Philly. Like, it's a win-win situation. And obviously, too, it's only the second round. You know, I think if it was the conference finals, if it was an opportunity to get to the finals, it would raise the stakes. And I think the fact that Detroit getting by Orlando changed everything. Changed everything. Because if the Magic had won that series, it would have really opened up just a clear path for the Knicks to get to the finals. At least now, hey, you got Philadelphia. You got Detroit, excuse me. You have another opportunity if you hate the Knicks to see that they lose in the next round. Where if it was the Magic or if it was the Cavs. I just don't see. This is me as a Knicks fan. I would think as a Knicks hater, they would agree. There's just not going to be a lot of, maybe some resistance, but not a lot of confidence in either one of those teams taking down the Knicks. Especially considering the Knicks would have home court, which they're amazing. And that's one of the reasons why, you know, and I got some pushback on this. I had the take last week. There was a social media video about it. A lot of people agreed with me, which is rare, but a lot of people agreed with me on this one. I was actually, a lot of people agreed with me. You know, it's usually not a position that I'm in. Usually people are against me. But in this situation, I think overwhelmingly, everybody was kind of on my side that Boston was the easier matchup for the Knicks. Because number one, I know ball and you know ball. So I think people that know ball, you know, ball knows ball. But the one thing I heard from those that were disagreeing with me, and I understand it and I respect it. I even heard Evan and Marash talking about this on Friday. You get home court now. The Knicks do. And I understand the importance of that. I understand game seven in your building. I understand how well the Knicks have played all series long. And I understand about Embiid as well as his health, which we've outlined here, and whether or not he could stay healthy, which is a major if. And of course, if he goes down, it's over. Look, I think the Sixers will fight gallantly, even if he's down, but I don't think they're going to have enough. I don't think they have enough anyway, but if they lose Embiid, they're really, really behind the eight ball. Because Embiid can get Cat in foul trouble, he can get Mitch in foul trouble, like he can disrupt things, and you know he's going to try to play the mind games. Embiid's all about the mental warfare. And Cat has had such great, you know, he's so locked in mentally right now. So the last thing, or maybe not, but certainly the last thing if you are worried about him sort of drifting mentally is to have to face Embiid, is to have to face this guy. But also it's a major test. And if he passes this one, nothing he's going to see, I think, going forward is going to be like Embiid. Just trying to get under your skin. And obviously there's a history between these two. There's no love lost. And Embiid will prey on that, where I think Cat is a high road guy. He'll try to take the high road, where Embiid will not. We know that. But we'll dive deeper into not only that rivalry, some of the matchups that have to, you know, favor the Knicks here in order for them to win the series, or they have to take advantage, I should say, and vice versa. But there's and also the ticket situation that's going on in Philly, which is it's just embarrassing. But obviously, Knicks fans, and I'll explain it coming up, but the Knicks fans will work around this. Because that arena has basically become MSG South. It's a quick trip, and Knicks fans basically take over the building. 888-808-1019 is the phone number to call. It's After Hours, Loogie in the Late Night here on The Fan. Let's go to Long Island. Mark is on The Fan. What's up, Mark? Hey, Mark, what's going on? Okay. I hear you, Mark. I get you. The outlook for the series, yeah. I mean, listen, I laid it out pretty much for you. Prediction, I mean, pain. That's the prediction. I gotta be in the prediction business. You know, I gave a prediction last year on the Knicks-Celtics series, and it was amazing. I feel like when you're the favorite, for me to give like a prediction and say, oh, it's gonna be in this many games. You know, I'm only setting myself up to fail there. You know, and then people go, oh, they didn't win in six, they won in seven. You're an idiot. But if they're like a major underdog and I go out on a limb, you're gonna get all the praise on that. So I don't necessarily have to go out on a limb when they're a major favorite in this series, the Knicks. I was actually stunned with the odds. Like, I thought it would be, I mean, I think they're like, I think they opened like minus 240 to win the series, the Knicks. Now, of course, game one, that I will say, I think the Knicks have a major, major advantage in this game. And you know, winning, first of all, the Knicks have had this history, winning game one in a series, ultimately leading to winning the series. But also, teams that win game one are set up quite nicely to win the series. So that's obviously very important to get that done. And when you consider that the Sixers are coming off of a 7-game sports war with the Celtics, where they had to use up all their energy battling back from 3-1. Embiid, who, I mean, the guy looks like, and I think some of this is theatrical, but, you know, he walks up and down the court, it doesn't even seem like he gets contacted sometimes. And he gets up and he's limping and he's this and he's that. And then he just knocks down like a, you know, a long jumper. But still, so like I said, some of that is probably a little bit theatrical, but he's clearly in pain and he's had a lot of injuries. When you consider that and you consider how the Knicks have been at Madison Square Garden and you consider how the Knicks just rolled in the last three games against Atlanta, which we'll see if that has any carryover. A lot of that was matchup based. Like obviously the Knicks were superior to the Hawks, and they could take advantage of certain you know, lack of size for Atlanta, things of that nature. And then I think by the end, Atlanta just had nothing left in the tank. Like, the Hawks had no more squares to spare. They just had no more punches left. They had no more, you know, bullets in the chamber. They were done. And I think the Sixers have more, but you wonder if they do in game one. You wonder. You know, that'll be interesting. But my gut is that the Knicks will win this game. They will win this one. Because it's clearly advantage them being at home, short rest for the Sixers, and a tough series where you have to then somehow, and then you have to walk into Madison Square Garden where the place is just going to be going crazy. Now, I know it's an early in the week kind of game, but this is second round, and this is Philadelphia that you're seeing. This is different. This is not getting up for, and look, the Garden should always be loud, especially for playoff games, but it was my understanding last week that the early in the week game, it was not so loud. And the weekends, you normally get a more rambunctious crowd, which makes sense. It's your weekend. You know, you're not going to church before the game. You know, even if it's on a Sunday, you know, obviously the game's at night. So the people are gassed up walking in the arena. And maybe they wouldn't be as much early in the week. So it is that Monday sort of crowd. But still, it's a playoff game and it's Philly. That's the thing. You're seeing the Sixers. You're seeing Embiid. A type of guy that makes your blood boil. You're not seeing Atlanta, especially minus Trae Young. This is a hated rival with a guy on the team that everybody can't stand. We know the history. It was only a couple years ago, and that one was just, it was everything you want. It was one of the best playoff series I've ever experienced as a Knicks fan, which might seem hyperbolic because it was obviously, you know, first round opponent, but it just was. It had all the makings. It had great games. I was in the building in Philly for the clincher, the rivalry that exists between the cities, everything about it was just amazing. Amazing. And I expect nothing less with the encore here in 2026. 888-808-1019 is the phone number to call. 888-808-1019 is the phone number to call. We'll get to your calls on the Knicks. We'll open it up to more of the branches, more of the subplots in this series. We will discuss baseball as well, as the Yankees made a very interesting decision on Anthony Volpe today. We'll get into that. Plus, the Mets had a winning weekend. They won the series, and they took the series against the Angels. They take on the Rockies now in Colorado. There's a lot to do with the Mets, including a story that came out over the weekend, one that I was way ahead on, and I was all over, but I'll explain that. It has to do with the future of one Carlos Mendoza and one Mr. David Stearns. So that's pretty much what we got going on for at least the first couple hours. We'll mix in some other sports stories as well, because we got you for another 4.5 hours here on After Hours. 888-808-1019. It is Lugie in the Late Night. Tommy Lugauer here on The Fan.
Hey, our ride's almost here. Are you ready?
Just grabbing my shoes.
That's what you said 10 minutes ago.
I just wrapped a video call, uploading this giant file on my tablet, looking at my watch go bananas with the group chat, and, of course, still lining up tonight's playlist on my phone.
All at once?
Yep, story of my life. That's why I switched to T-Mobile. They have the fastest 5G network.
Okay, multitasker. I see you.
Honestly, I never imagined I could do all this at once. It's awesome.
Say no more, I'm totally switching. My post is taking way too long to upload.
That's a sign. You've got to get T-Mobile.
So many reasons to join T-Mobile. Find yours at T-Mobile.com.
Fastest based on analysis by Ookla speed test intelligence data of national speed score results incorporating 5G download and upload speeds for the first half of 2026.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Personal finance can feel like a pop quiz you didn't study for. This podcast is your study guide. On NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast, you'll hear from trusted journalists who explain the why behind major financial decisions. You'll get research-backed insights and clear pros and cons, whether you're planning a big purchase or just want to grow your wealth. Make your next financial move with confidence. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
Imagine you're watching the game at a buddy's house when you get a call that someone tried to break into yours. In a second, everything can change. That's why there's ADT. No one wants to feel unsafe in their own home. ADT security systems help keep your home safe with 24/7 monitoring. The ADT Plus app keeps you in control the whole time. ADT's network is built for those game-time moments. They have the most company-operated monitoring centers in the industry. Don't leave your home wide open during an emergency. When every second counts, count on ADT. Visit ADT.com or call 1-800-ADT-ASAP.
Nobody gets into maintenance for the paperwork. But somewhere along the way, the clipboards piled up and the spreadsheets multiplied. Good technicians spend hours per day on admin instead of turning a wrench. MaintainX was built to give that time back. Preventative maintenance runs on a real schedule. Automated, assigned, and nothing slipping through. With MaintainX, work orders go out in seconds, and everyone from the floor to the front office knows what's due and when. So your team gets back to the machines, not the paperwork. Over 14,000 companies are already running on MaintainX because the people who keep the world running deserve tools that actually work. Try MaintainX free at MaintainX.com. That's MaintainX.com, an Autodesk company.
The GLP-1 pill you've been waiting for is now on Roe. Yep, it's finally here. With the same clinically proven ingredient, now in a pill, and now on Roe. It's the first FDA-approved GLP-1 pill for weight loss. At the lowest price available, that's one daily GLP-1 pill for big results. Now on Roe. Go to roe.co/listen to see if you qualify. RX only. Go to roe.co/safety for serious side effects and boxed warning associated with GLP-1s.
12:33 here on the Fan in New York City. Tommy Lugauer, Lugie. It is After Hours here on the Fan, 888-808-1019. That is the phone number to call. Coming up in just a little bit, I'll explain why the Sixers are trying to keep Knicks fans out of their building. But first, the Fan Focus. And it's presented by Chef IQ. Is perfect steak possible? Discover how at chefiq.com. I can't stress how badly the Orlando Magic blew a golden opportunity to beat the Pistons. I mean, they had them on the ropes not once, twice. Up 3-1 in the series. And then in game six, at one point, they had a lead of 24 points. 24! And Orlando was a defensive team. I mean, this series was a slog. It was a rock fight. It was the Spider-Man meme on the internet where both Spider-Men are pointing at each other. So if you have a lead of that type in your building with a team that is completely on the ropes, has not played a good series, and you can't finish that, and you, I think they shot like 1-for-24 in the fourth quarter. 1-for-24. What? And I know Orlando is not a prolific shooting team by any stretch of the imagination, but still, get a layup, get a dunk, get an easy bucket. You had that game and series in your lap multiple times, and you threw it away. And now the Pistons, look, they learned a valuable lesson. Survive in advance. They got through. Doesn't matter how they did it. Doesn't matter how they looked. And they were getting, myself included, just getting destroyed. And I still think, look, the Pistons have to continue to prove that in the playoffs, they are the team that they were in the regular season. That remains to be seen. Because if Orlando could hit a shot, now some of that is Detroit defense, but not all of it. Well, 1-for-24 or whatever it was, I mean, Orlando literally couldn't buy a bucket. So a lot of that is on the Magic not being able to shoot. Then it is Detroit having a lockdown defense. You know, 99 out of 100 times the Pistons are going home there. They're going home. But in this one instance, they ran into a team that couldn't, literally could not hit, what's the old phrase? They couldn't hit war if they fell off a boat. I mean, they literally could not knock down a shot. And it opened the door for Detroit. And you knew if it got to a game seven at home, the Pistons were not losing that game. Especially an Orlando team that they threw their best punch. And then when they had a 24-point lead, that was their opportunity to win the series. It wasn't happening in game seven. They just don't have enough there in that spot to beat the Pistons. And Detroit just worked it too hard this year, and they're just too good to lose that type of game. But still, it shows you that, and maybe this gives the momentum that the Pistons needed, but I still need to see each series them prove it. Prove it. You were great in the regular season. Okay, that's great. Anybody, you know, not anybody, but most teams could have a great regular season, especially if you have talent like they do. If you put every single ounce of effort into every single game and you just go for it, that one seed, which is what they did, and it ultimately almost cost them in the playoffs as it seemed like they had like nothing left. But they faced a team that just had an all-time brick moment where they couldn't knock down a shot. And it opened the door for Detroit. And now they move on and they take on Cleveland, who also, I thought that series would be over a lot quicker than it was. And obviously it took a miracle shot by R.J. Barrett, which went about 400 feet in the air, a three-point attempt, and went through. But it ultimately wasn't enough. And that game one will also be coming up, I think either later on this evening or tomorrow. But either way, game one is coming up in the next couple of days here. And obviously, look, it's all about the Sixers. But as I said before, you keep a little bit of an eye on what's going on. Just a quick one. Not both eyes. Don't stare very long. Don't be that guy that you see that picture on the internet where he's with his girl and another hottie walks by and he's, you know, basically turned all the way around staring at her. Don't be that guy. Don't. Just take a quick little look. Especially now, I mean, over the weekend, it's one thing the Knicks weren't playing. But now that the Knicks are back in action here and we get them back on the court later on this evening at Madison Square Garden, now the sole focus is on Philly and maybe a few seconds of spare time. Take a look at what's going on in that series. 888-808-1019 is the phone number to call. Let's go to Cologne in Hawthorne, New Jersey. What's up, Cologne?
Hey, Tommy. How you doing?
Good.
You know, Tommy, first of all, the Sixers in Boston. You know, yes, Embiid was the difference. But the reason it got to this point was because they stole game two, and Maxey and Edgecombe had really good games.
Yeah.
And as a Knicks fan, the Knicks do have a habit of sometimes giving away games, mm-hmm. right? So that's something that I, you know, every cautious about, you know.
Well, look, we've seen them do it against Philly. I mean, I think about the theatrics and the magic of Maxey at the Garden in that series. The Knicks have shown that they have a capability of blowing leads. We know that. Now, that's obviously something that you want to... And look, that's kind of the... It's not just a Knick thing. Like, that's the NBA. Like, leads are made to be broken here, basically. Like, we've seen teams be... the Pacers made a habit of it doing it last year, not just to the Knicks. So no lead is safe in the NBA. We saw that the other night with Detroit. Like, no lead is really safe. But yeah, it's something to be you know, cognizant of, especially with the firepower that the Sixers have. Because when Maxey gets hot, he could get real hot.
Yeah. You know, listen, I'm Knicks and Sixers. Listen, I feel good about the series. I really do. But we do need Mitchell Robinson,
yeah,
you know, to do his thing, you know, help out, you know, Embiid. But the last time we saw them in the playoffs, remember, Embiid dragged down Mitchell Robinson because it was over him.
Yep.
And then I get hurt and almost cause altercation. And we're coming off a series against the Hawks where Mitch Robinson got into two altercations with Daniels. So my other worry is I don't want to see any altercations because as a Knicks fan, I've lived in the...
You know what, though? But Philly's going to want to do that. I brought it up in the open. Embiid thrives on this type of stuff. He wants to play the mental game. He knows the history. Obviously, Mitchell Robinson knows the history. So he's gonna be an instigator. That's just the way he is. I mean, Oubre is like that, too. Like, they're gonna want... Now, this is where an Alvarado comes into play. Like, they're gonna want this game to go to the mental side of it, for sure. Because guess what? The Knicks are better. They're deeper. And ultimately, if this series plays out the way it's supposed to play out, the Knicks are going to win it. But the way that Philly could steal it is by either, you know, getting in the heads of the Knicks players or an injury or something like that. So Embiid is one of those guys that's going to pull out all the stops. We know that. So I think there's going to be altercations, whether you want it or not.
I just don't want to get baited. And I don't want the Knicks to, like, you know, relive what happened in 97, you know, with the Miami Heat and all that. Okay, so
I understand that back in the day. Yeah, some of those brawls with P.J. Brown and Mourning and all that stuff. I get it. Look, but that, you know what, though? And this is a good thing, Cologne. This is actually a good thing. The fact that the Knicks are in the playoffs now basically every year, this is the type of stuff that happens because when you see a team in the playoffs a couple times in a 3 or 4 or 5 year stretch, there's history, there's bad blood, and not only is there a lot on the line, but because of those factors, you know, it doesn't take nearly as much for guys to want to throw hands basically. Now, you got to be smart. you can't get suspended, you don't want to get injured, but there's obviously a lot of hatred here, not only amongst the fan bases, but I think amongst the players. Now, not every player, but I think that there's definitely hatred for some of the players on these teams, especially when you consider what happened to Mitch a couple years ago in that series.
And the last thing, listen, yep. I'm happy that Cleveland won the series because I wanted a good matchup against Pistons. If it was the Raptors and Detroit, I think Detroit probably could have swept them or gentlemen sweep.
Yeah,
now we have two good series in the semifinals. Sure. And I feel good about Knicks moving forward.
Same. And look, as a basketball fan, which we both are, I'm with you on that. And like I said, I'm not going to be glued to it, obviously, because of the Knicks and the focus is on the Sixers. But you're right. Yeah, it's going to be a much better series. And that's an interesting one because Cleveland has, both teams do. They have so much to prove. So much. And one of them has to win. And that's the good thing. One of them has to win. And I think, believe it or not, Cleveland probably has more to prove just because they've been here before over and over again. And when they made the moves they made, and you brought in James Harden, who's a sports loser, and you get in bed with somebody like that, and you made the moves that they did, and including trading Garland. Like, some of the things that I just didn't make sense of some of the stuff they did in the middle of the year, but they did it, and here they are. But still, they're in the second round, which is not why you make those moves. You make those moves to get to the finals. We'll ultimately see if that's enough to even get by Detroit, let alone to the finals. But yes, I, too, feel great about the Knicks. Of course. The Knicks' worst enemy, and I think I took a call on this last Thursday when the series ended. And someone asked me, going forward, whether it's Boston, whether it's Philly, how do you cap it? Like, what do you think could be the undoing of the Knicks? And I said, well, that's easy. The Knicks can be the undoing of the Knicks. That's it. I mean, they got the best starting five in the East. They're deep. They're experienced. And they're coming off three games where they absolutely steamrolled Atlanta. And look, Philly's not Atlanta. They're better, even though Atlanta played better down the stretch. I mean, Joel Embiid was not putting on a Hawk uniform. Like, there was nobody on that roster that was like, for that matter, there's nobody like Maxey. So you're talking about two star players. And Edgecombe gives you, like I said, a wrinkle that this Sixer team did not have last time. But if the Knicks play their game and they're consistent, and also Philly's well-coached, we know that. I'm just so curious to see Karl Anthony Towns in this series, especially mentally, because I think Cat right now is the sharpest he's ever been. Now, I don't know if it's the fact that he was rubbing elbows with Anne Hathaway and the Devil Wears Prada too. I don't know or the fact that Giannis didn't come here, or just the fact that he's putting it all together, which is great, and you love to see it. Because the skill set was always there, the talent's always there. I mean, if you created a basketball player in a laboratory, they would look like Karl Anthony Towns when you consider the height, the girth, the ability to shoot the three, like everything he can bring to a basketball court. And defensively, he's been good, which he really turned up the defense kind of post-trade deadline. Like, we saw Karl Anthony Towns for a stretch there, the best version of Karl Anthony Towns, in my opinion, that we have seen as a Knick. The best. And I think this last series with Atlanta, and Karl Anthony Towns is a good playoff basketball player. Like, he'll get a lot of crap, and I understand some of the reasons why he gets that crap. But this is a guy that's gone to the conference finals with two different teams. I thought he was the best player in the series against the Pacers last year. But I understand that sometimes the lack of toughness, maybe the body language, maybe not always exploiting the matchup, which sometimes is on his teammates, but in some instances it's on Carl. But overall, he's a good playoff player. But Embiid is going to take you places that it's going to take you places, dark places that Cat is going to have to go to in order to get the better of him. Because Embiid don't care. He's the type of guy that will pull out any stop in order to get under your skin, get a foul called against you, win a basketball game. Like, that's just the type. It's, and at times it could be dirty, no doubt. But you know what? By any means necessary. And I always feel like you fight a dirty player, not by being dirty yourself, just beat him. beat them. That's why I went over and was like, oh, well, our hitter just got plunked. We should plunk one of their guys. We should retaliate. No, retaliate by beating them. That, to me, is always the best retaliation. Now, if you want to give them a little receipt when you're up 40 in the fourth quarter, I don't have an issue with that. In fact, I would encourage, but I wouldn't, if it was close, lose sight of what really matters the most, and that's the score, and that's winning the game. And not all the other nonsense, which Embiid wants to get involved in. He wants to drag you down into that stuff. You have to do your best to avoid it. Now, let the fans go nuts, because it's just going to be, you know how the fans are going to get. I just know it right now, because he's so hated. And again, this is if he holds up, which, who knows? Who knows? I mean, he's not just day by day. He's minute by minute on that basketball court. I mean, minute by minute. There are some times where you look like, okay, he's done for the year. Like, they're just going to pull him off this court, and he's not going to see he's just not going to see it ever again, or certainly not this year. But it's been going on for years with him, with that stuff. And sometimes he's able to find an extra whatever to pull himself through. That being said, this is where it's on Cat. Look, you're healthier, you're younger, all these things. Like, you should be able to get the best of Embiid as long as you don't play his game. Don't play his game. And Cat's got to find that, not where he's dirty, but that meanness. That's the where a lot of us have wanted him to go many a times. Needs to go to that level. That aggression, that meanness. If he could go there, because that's how it is with bullies. If you can punch back, they will backtrack. They will backtrack. Let's go to Andrew in Rockland. What's up, Andrew?
Yeah, what's up, Lugie? I love your show.
Thank you, bro. What's on your mind?
Yeah, big time, man. I'm just giving a shout out to Yossi. First of all, I just want to let you know that I stay up. Usually I go to sleep early, but always stay up for your show.
Well, I appreciate that.
I want to let you know.
I appreciate that.
Yeah. I have a Knicks point. What do you think the main thing is in the series? Is it that for the Knicks to succeed, is it that Mitchell Robinson thing, this healthy, whatever, and Mitchell Robinson, or also like the bench? Like, what do you think?
Well, listen, you brought up those two points. We'll start with there, and then I'll give you my overall thing. The bench for the Knicks is obviously a major advantage in this series. The Knicks are deeper. They have a better bench, and that bench came to play last round. Like, you saw things from Clarkson that you love. You saw things from Alvarado that you love. Of course, McBride. And I think McBride and Alvarado, not just their toughness, but their defense, are going to be major, major, major keys for the Knicks in this series. Defending Embiid is going to be a major one as well, because you don't want Karl Anthony Towns to get in foul trouble. You don't want him to get in the muck. I think Anunoby going on Embiid, which we've seen before, and that's why OG Anunoby is so valuable to this team. Not only the way he can score the basketball, but that he can defend and lock down the best player on the other team, despite how big the other guy is. So I could see, much like Jaylen Brown was on Embiid a bunch, I could see Anunoby on Embiid a bunch, no doubt. They'll throw a lot of guys at Embiid. They'll double team, those things of that nature. But stopping Edgecombe and Maxey are going to be challenging, especially if Brunson, either on a switch or something, if they exploit him and Brunson's getting taken to school out there, there have to be adjustments made, much like they did against the Hawks. But at the same time, Jalen's going to get his. And he's going to get his a lot, because I don't see Philly being able to stop him either. And ultimately, the depth that the Knicks have will be the Sixers' undoing. Just, they don't have enough guys, I think, to go, because this series is probably going to go 6, maybe even 7. Back-to-back like that for the Sixers, with Embiid, with the injuries that he has, and the lack of depth that they have. It's going to be too much for them. It's going to be too much for them. The Knicks will wear them down ultimately. Like, there might be a game or two where you're like, oh boy, this is, you know, they blow a lead or something, or Maxey scores 45, or Embiid has a monster game, and you're like, oh, that sucked. But ultimately, the size, and not only that, but the depth of the bench, and just the skill set, too. and the variety of skill set that the Knicks can throw at you, I think will be ultimately too much for the Sixers to handle. 888-808-1019. That is the phone number to call. We will get back to your calls in just one sec. Plus, I really want to get into the Sixers, their attempt, which it's not going to work, but their attempt to keep Knicks fans out of the building. Because to me, it's very little brother behavior. Like, I expect this from other cities, not from Philly. You're supposed to be a major, tough sports town, so I would expect you to be a little bit different than this, but here we are, and we will get into that just in a little bit. Also, some other stuff with the series as well, how the Knicks can unlock Mikal Bridges, and the baseball, of course. The Yankees made a big decision on Anthony Volpe. The Mets won a series against the Angels as they now go to Colorado, continuing on in their road trip. But the big story from the Mets over the weekend was we finally got some clarity on the job security for both Mendoza and Stearns. So we will dive deeply into both of those gentlemen in the next couple hours here on After Hours. The phone number is 888-808-1019. It is After Hours. Lugie in the Late Night here on The Fan.
Hey, our ride's almost here. Are you ready?
Just grabbing my shoes.
That's what you said 10 minutes ago.
I just wrapped a video call, uploading this giant file on my tablet, looking at my watch go bananas with the group chat, and, of course, still lining up tonight's playlist on my phone.
All at once?
Yep, story of my life. That's why I switched to T-Mobile. They have the fastest 5G network.
Okay, multitasker. I see you.
Honestly, I never imagined I could do all this at once. It's awesome.
Say no more. I'm totally switching. My post is taking way too long to upload.
That's a sign. You've got to get T-Mobile.
So many reasons to join T-Mobile. Find yours at T-Mobile.com.
Fastest based on analysis by Ookla speed test intelligence data of national speed score results incorporating 5G download and upload speeds for the first half of 2026.
Nerds.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Ever Google a money question and end up 12 tabs deep with 12 different answers? This podcast is your shortcut back to clarity. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast breaks down financial decisions with a team of trusted journalists. They explain the why behind decisions like investing, home buying, and choosing credit cards with clear, research-backed insights. No jargon, no misinformation. Make your next financial move with confidence. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
Your line just went down. Production stopped. A supervisor wants answers. And someone's digging through a binder for the maintenance history. Every one of those minutes costs money. And most of the time, that breakdown could have been prevented. That's where MaintainX comes in. MaintainX catches the failure before it happens. Preventative maintenance plans on every key asset to improve reliability. Work orders assigned and tracked right from your phone. Everyone from the floor to the front office is in the loop. Companies on MaintainX have cut unplanned downtime by over 30% and saved thousands on parts and labor every year. See what MaintainX can do for your operation. Try MaintainX free at MaintainX.com, an Autodesk company.
What you're listening to presumably doesn't suck, so neither should your sound system. Sonos lets you listen seamlessly from room to room. Same great sound, expertly tuned, astonishingly clear. It's not magic, but it's not not magic.
Did you know that there are over 200 legends like Andrew Jones, Albert Pujols, Felix Hernandez, and Ken Griffey Jr. in MLB The Show 26? Collect them all and current all-stars to build your perfect lineup. MLB The Show 26 is available now on PlayStation 5, Xbox Series XS, and Nintendo Switch. Rated E for everyone. Officially licensed by MLB Players, Inc.